Richard, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. Doing fine.
Appreciate your time. Wanted to get your take on Michigan's business tax. It appears that it has been a challenge for business, whether they're large or small, for a long time. Would you agree with that?
There are always questions and concerns anytime a governor or lawmakers talk about a major change in tax policy. But, Tony, I can tell you that we have a large and diverse membership. And as we talk with business leaders in the Lansing area and across the state, there's a strong consensus that we need to repeal the MBT. The Michigan Chamber opposed the MBT and the surcharge. The surcharge is a jobs killer. When our members listen to Governor Snyder and Lieutenant Governor Kelly talk about a tax that is more simple, more fair, based on profits, and more like other states, those are winning arguments with Michigan's job providers.
Well, the governor and Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly have proposed some changes. There would be a lot of change, including some changes in the Michigan business tax. What's your take on that?
We think the recent compromise announced by the governor and Senate Majority Leader Richardville and Speaker Bolger was a positive development. We're thankful every day there are three branches of state government, not just one. We never expected the governor's budget proposal or tax proposal to fly through the House and Senate unquestioned or unchanged. It's all part of the give and take of the legislative process. We have confidence in House Republicans and Senate Republicans. We know their leaders are pro-jobs and pro-business and pro-taxpayer. So we have to be optimistic that in the next few weeks, I think you'll see the legislature that has been reviewing the governor's proposal make changes and start to move the budget plan and the tax plan forward. We strongly agree with the chairs of the House and Senate Appropriations Committee, Senator Kahn, Representative Moss, that we need to get moving on the budget. The budget plan relates to the tax plan. So these two major policy initiatives really need to go forward together. I can tell you our members, large, small, manufacturing or service sector, want to help reinvent Michigan. We need to focus on more and better jobs, tax reform, and fixing broken government. The budget and the tax plan are important parts of that.
The opposition to this new proposal state that two-thirds of the entities that now pay the Michigan business tax wouldn't pay the 6% corporate profits tax that Snyder wants. How would you respond to that?
Very little of that criticism is coming from the business community. Again, it's understandable that employers would have questions and concerns. A lot of the criticism is coming from minority lawmakers who've lost control of the House or the Senate, from groups that don't have constructive alternatives. So I think you have to take that criticism with more than just a grain of salt. The governor and lieutenant governor are working hard to answer questions. They've been participating in the give and take of the legislative process with lawmakers who want to be a part of the solution. There are some in the minority who I think just want to criticize and complain, and if they're not going to participate in the process in a constructive way, it's hard to be helpful. I think a lot of the criticism is coming from people who are going to vote no on whatever the governor proposes. That's unfortunate, but that's where we are politically. Again, I think the good news in Lansing is that we have pro-jobs, pro-taxpayer, pro-business majorities in the House and Senate who aren't going to rubber stamp the governor's proposal. We've encouraged them to ask questions and make improvements, but they want to be a part of the solution.
Richard, with a almost $2 billion budget deficit, would you say that it's fair that businesses large and small need to help with this deficit, and those who are bigger may need to pay more of a fair share?
It's important that everyone contribute to solving state government's budget problem and reforming our tax system. It's important to remember that individual employees and employers pay the income tax as well as the business tax. The direction I've been given by our executive committee and board of directors is that if spending is being reduced due to a lack of revenue, we have to be prepared to accept a reduction in spending and maybe even the elimination of programs that business people like. We see that happening on the spending side. For years and years, individuals and groups in Lansing talked about the need to review tax expenditures. The governor's tax and budget plan includes a repeal or scaling back of the film credit that some employers like, a scaling back of mega tax credits that benefited some employers. So I think it's fair to say that the business community is participating in this effort at shared sacrifice.
How much is the increase in gas prices affecting business?
Tony, that's a great question. I've been spending a lot of this week talking with business leaders on our executive committee and board and local chamber executives across the state. There's a lot of optimism about this summer as we move into the travel and tourism season. The feedback I'm getting from leaders in the travel industry is that gas hovering around $4 a gallon is not a positive development, but at that level, a lot of families who might have been traveling to the Grand Canyon or out west or down south are thinking about staying in Michigan. So that out-of-state trip becomes a trip up north, and a lot of travel-related communities are still optimistic about summer bookings. I think we're all concerned if gas goes to $5 a gallon and stays there. At that level, you could see an impact not only on car sales but travel and tourism. So we're hopeful that Congress and the President will focus on easing the regulatory burden on refineries, increasing oil exploration. That will help. But frankly, a lot of the recent spike in gasoline prices relate to international events that are largely outside our control here in Michigan. But the employees and employers I talk to are doing everything they can to be competitive and welcoming to visitors from around the state and out of state, and I think that'll help a lot.
All right, and finally, Richard, wanted to get your take on education here in the state of Michigan. Funding is probably going to be cut in K through 12, as well as for our universities and colleges in Michigan that are public. What's your take on that, and will the chamber work to keep funding from being cut to those entities?
We'll cooperate and work with responsible leaders in the education community. But, Tony, you and I know that many school districts are struggling with declining enrollment, a trend that began years ago. There are a lot of school boards and school administrators who postponed the day of reckoning. They've got to deal with the economic reality of declining revenue. I can tell you that one of the most disappointing things for employers in this debate is to see hyper-partisan activities on the part of teacher unions, especially the MEA, threatening strikes. The MEA apparently involved in the effort to recall the governor. Those kind of tactics on the part of the teachers union are counterproductive and I think will backfire. There are a lot of good people, teachers working in classrooms that deserve our encouragement and support, but their highly partisan union bosses are out of control and not making a positive contribution to the debate. We hope there won't be work stoppages and illegal teacher strikes. If there are, those teachers who strike should be fired and replaced, and the union should be sanctioned.
All right, but focusing on the funding for the kids to keep these kids in the state of Michigan after they graduate from college, and also using that to supplement the workforce, isn't that important?
It is. At the Michigan Chamber, we support reducing the excessive administrative overhead in our K through 12 system. That excessive administrative overhead comes from a system with over 500 school districts. We need to encourage cooperation and consolidation of school districts, reduce the administrative overhead, drive that funding into the classroom. Teachers need to be compensated fairly, but there are serious problems with the high cost of government employee health care and pensions. Those need to be brought into line with the private sector. There are still school districts where employees make little or no contribution to employee health care. There are still school districts that are promising newly hired employees lifetime retiree health care. Those benefits are no longer available in the private sector because they're not affordable and they're not sustainable. So we'll work with responsible education leaders to maintain adequate funding. A lot of this problem really relates to the fact that Michigan is the only state in the country in the past 10 years to have a loss in population. The biggest problem we face in the area of tax reform is that we're running out of taxpayers. That's why at the Michigan Chamber, we're focused on creating more and better jobs. If we have more and better jobs, there'll be more adequate revenue to maintain essential services like education.
Richard Studley is the president and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much, Richard.
Thank you, Tony.